turn in God's Word to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 32. Ephesians 4, and beginning in verse 1, these are God's words. Let's give our attention to God who speaks on high to us. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Those are God's words. As in most of Paul's letters, there is a doctrinal section. The first three chapters of Ephesians was the doctrinal section. Now, like in most of all Paul's letters, there is a more practical section or application section that starts here in chapter 4. And it often starts with the word therefore, which we see in verse 1 of this chapter. Because the Lord is sovereign over all things for His glory, for the uniting of all peoples, Jews and Gentiles in Christ, for making you who were dead alive now walk, you are called now to walk worthy of your calling because of these truths that we've learned. Through verse 16 then, you Jews and Gentiles are all one in Christ, he says, be united together in Christ. Be united as a church, as a people. United in the truth of who God is and what He has done and who you are now in Christ. Be united in love according to the truth. And then through verse 24, we are called to pure and holy lives in Christ according to the law of God, the truth. And to the end of the chapter, the very particular applications of that call to be holy and pure for the sake of Christ in the many ways. And we could categorize many of the commands as an exposition of the Ten Commandments, and that going into chapter 5. And so, friends, as we turn to Christ, here the Lord is teaching us that we are to be one together in Christ and one together with one another. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the unity that You have granted to us, Your people, here in this congregation. We pray that You would grow us in a greater unity with the rest of the congregations of Your people throughout the world and those we often come in contact with. Father, we pray that You would bring this about in the truth, that You would reform our hearts and our minds, that we would love the truth. And wherever we are in sin, even now, in our lives, in our worship, as a church, as families, as individuals, Father, we pray that You would turn us from such sin and turn us unto the truth, that we would follow after Christ Your Son in the truth according to His Word, according to His law. And we're thankful for the law that is so taught to us here about our anger and murder. We're thankful for the commandment about our tongues and how our communication should be for edifying, and that in the keeping of the third commandment as well as the ninth commandment. Our Father, we're thankful for Your word and Your commandments, Your law, which to us is more precious than gold and is much to be desired. We pray that we would desire Your word and a greater understanding and knowledge and wisdom of Your word, which we pray that You would pour out Your Holy Spirit by Your grace and grant us this desire. And we know it is Your desire that Your people would know the truth, and so make us to learn Your word and to follow and obey Your word. Father, we're thankful that You desire our sanctification, and so sanctify us by Your Holy Spirit and by the Word. And so wash us of our sins and purify us according to the law. Our Father, we're thankful today for the church. We're thankful today for our being one together, that we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. We're thankful for this. And the great statement there in the early part of chapter 4, we're thankful that You are one Yourself, one in union, as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as one God. We're thankful for the oneness of our marriages, of husbands and wives, that are the mystery shown forth, that this declares forth the oneness of Christ and His bride, the church. And we're thankful that you teach us this, that we might understand the Song of Solomon, that great book about the love that Christ has for us as the bride, and the great love that we ought to have for Christ our beloved, and that we would and continue to be one with Him and not adulterate ourselves with this world and with sin, but be faithful as Christ is always faithful to us. We're thankful that He is on the throne, that He is our mediator who lives to make intercession for us. We're thankful that you continue to heal your people. We pray that you would heal, strengthen, grant to us greater muscle, the ligaments and all these things that we have in our bodies. We pray that you would strengthen us. But strengthen us also in our hearts, our souls, our minds, our wills, our affections. Grant us the pure and the full armor of God, that we would be protected, and also have the great weapon of your word, the sword of the Spirit. And we would take that word, and that we would conquer Satan and all who are his, that many would come to Christ by faith, as we know that the gates of Hades will never be overcome, that we will never be overcome by the gates of Hades, but rather we will continue to, as you do in Christ, through us and by your Spirit and by your word. You continue to conquer the gates of Hades and call out sinners to repentance and faith. We're thankful for this. We pray that you would continue that work of destroying his kingdom, the devil's kingdom, and growing Christ. We pray that you would be with our nation, this nation which continues in its perversities and wickedness and evils, all those things that we are called to turn from at the end of this chapter. This nation continues in by its citizens, and we're part of that nation. And Father, we pray that you would not judge us according to what this nation deserves, and yet we know it does deserve it. Father, we pray that you would hold off your judgments and the greater judgments that would affect us, all for the sake that some might turn unto you, and that you would call them to yourself. And for the few righteous who remain, Father, hold off your judgments. But if it not be, Father, we do plead, even now for our princes, our rulers, our kings in authority, that you would save them, and that you would turn their hearts to you, that they would covenant with Christ your Son, that this nation would be reclaimed, and it would be that the flag would be planted as a nation for Christ and not for the people, Father, that the banner would fly over, that we know that it would be Christ who would be seen as King, who would be bowed to as King, and praised and worshipped. Now, Father, we ask also that you would provide for our congregation, provide your good word, provide, even what we heard this morning, that ironing sharpening iron, as we are to be to one another. Father, grant that today and for this congregation, that we would be united in around the truth, that we would speak your word to one another, and that we would learn and grow in Christ. And so spiritually feed us, strengthen us in our bodies and souls, knowing that we are not merely souls, nor merely bodies, but bodies and souls, as you've created us. And we'll be raised up, body and soul. And so, Father, grant us sanctifying, a cleansing of our body and soul. Turn us from every wicked way. And encourage your people in Christ today. Give us joy in the Holy Spirit and the work that you're doing in our lives and in the lives of our brothers and sisters. Father, we pray as well that you would provide for our families. Pray that you would provide and comfort Jesus and Graciela and their family as Jesus lost his job. Pray that you would uphold him and grant them wisdom of what next steps to do. and provide for their family financially. Father, we pray that you would grant continual diligent work to Jesus, as we heard this morning in Proverbs, and that we would all learn to be diligent as well in all of our work. And so may your name be praised through our diligent labors. Now, Father, today we call upon you, the God who provides, protects, who is our hope, our help, even as we heard in the call to worship. Father, we pray that your name would be praised, that you would uphold us, your people, never leave us nor forsake us. And we know we're comforted greatly by your word, which promises to us, in which you're always faithful, that you work all things together for our good, to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Every single thing you work for our good and for your glory. And we praise you for this great comfort and hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.